श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो सेवन चैप्टर टेक 43-45 ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवा नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टो प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु वित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी So there are three verses have been put together, and the last verse, verse 45, has been written on the board. So I'll read through the first two verses, 43 and 44. Vedaham anga paramasya hi yoga mayam. जूयं भवश्च भगवानथ दैत्यवर्यः पत्नी मनसा च मनुष्य तदात्मजाश्च प्राचीन बर्हिर्ऋषभुरंग उत ध्रुवश्च इक्षाकुलैलमुचुकुंद विदेह गाधी रद्धं बरीश सगरा गयना पुषाद्या मंधात्रलर्क शतधन्न अनुरन्नितेवा देवव्रत बलिरमुत्त अयो दिलीप सो द वर्स 45 नाउ आई कमिंग टू सौहरी उतंक शिवी देवला पिप्पलादा सारसत उद्धवा परासर भूरिशेनः ये अन्ने विभीषण हनुमान उपेन्द्र भक्त्या पार्थ अरिष्टिशेन विदुरा श्रुतदेवा वर्यः सौहर्युतंक शिवदेवल पिप्पलाद सारसतुद्धव पराशर भूरिशेन येन्ने विभीषण हनुमान उपेन्द्र दत्त्या पार्थार्ष्टिशेन विदुरा श्रुतदेव वर्य सौभर्युतंक शिवदेवल पिप्पलाद सारसतोद्धव पराशर भूरिशेन येन्ने विभीषण हनुमादुपेन्द्र दत्त्या पार्थ Tarshtishena Bidura Suta Deva Varja. Sobhar Yutam Karshi Videvala Pipyalada. Saru Satadhava Parashara Bhurishena. Yenne Vibhishana Hanuma Dupendra Datya. Parthashtishena Bidura Shuta Deva Varja. Veda,
Veda,
know it,
know it.
Aham,
aham,
myself,
myself.
Anga,
anga,
O Narada,
O Narada.
Paramasya,
paramasya,
of the Supreme,
of the Supreme.
He,
certainly,
certainly. Yogamayam,
yogamayam,
potency,
potency.
Yuyam,
yuyam,
yourself,
yourself.
Bhava,
Bhava,
Shiva,
Shiva.
Cha,
Cha,
and
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan, the great demigod,
the great demigod.
Atha,
Atha,
as also
Daityavarjaha,
Prahlad Maharaj,
the great devotee of the Lord,
born in the family of an atheist. Patni, Shatarupa, Manoho,
of Manu,
Sa,
he,
Cha,
also,
Manu,
Sayambhuva,
Cha,
and
Tat Atmaja, and his children like Priyavrata, Uttanapad,
Devahuti,
etc. Prachina Barhi,
Prachina Barhi,
Ribhu,
Ribhu,
Angaha,
Anga,
Uta,
even,
Dhruvaha,
Dhruva,
Cha,
and
Ikshaku,
Ikshaku,
Oila,
Oila,
Muchukunda,
Muchukunda,
Bideha, Maharajanak,
Maharajanak,
Gadhi,
Gadhi,
Raghu,
Raghu,
Ambarisha,
Ambarish,
Sagaraha,
Sagara,
Gaya,
Gaya,
Nahusha,
Nahush,
Adya,
and so on.
Mandhatri,
Mandhata,
Alarka,
Alarka,
Shatadhanu,
Shatadhanu,
Anu,
Anu,
Rantideva,
Rantideva,
Devabrata,
Bhishma,
Balihi,
Bali,
Amurtarayaha,
Amurtaraya,
Dilipa,
Dilip,
Shobhari,
Shobhari,
Utanka,
Shibi,
Shibi,
Devala,
Devala,
Pippalada,
Pippalada,
Saraswata,
Saraswata,
Uddhava,
Uddhav,
Parashara,
Parashara,
Bhurishena,
Bhurishena,
Ye.
Those who,
Anne,
others,
Vibhishana,
Vibhishana,
Hanumat,
Hanuman,
Upendra Dattaya,
Shukadeva Goswami,
Partha,
Arjun,
Arishtashena,
Arishtashena,
Vidura,
Vidura,
Shrutadeva,
Shrutadeva,
Varja,
foremost.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
O Narad, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how He acts through Yogamaya potencies. And similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to the all-powerful Shiva, the great king of the atheist family, namely Prahlad Maharaj, Sayambhuga Manu, his wife Satarupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavrata, Uttanapad, Akuti, Devakuti and Prashuti, Prachinabarhi, Ribhu, Anga, the father of Bena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikshaku, Oila, Muchukanda, Maharaj Janak, Gadhi, Raghu, Akbarish, Shagar, Gai, Nahush, Mandhata, Alarka, Shatadhanne, Anu, Rantidev, Bhishma, Bali, Amurtaraya, Dilip, Shobhari, Utanka, Shibi, Deval, Pippalada, Sarasvata, Uddhav, Parashar, Bhurishena, Vibhishan, Hanuman, Sukadev Goswami, Arjun, Arishtasen, Vidura, Shrutadeva, etc. So, let's go straight to the purport. All the great devotees of the Lord, as mentioned above, who flourished in the past or present, and all the devotees of the Lord who will come in the future, are aware of the different potencies of the Lord, along with the potency of His name, quality, pastimes, entourage, personality, etc. And how do they know? Certainly, it is not by mental speculation, nor by any attempt, by dint of limited instruments of knowledge. By the limited instruments of knowledge, either the senses or the material instruments, like microscopes and telescopes, one cannot even fully know the Lord's material potencies, which are manifested before our eyes. For example, there are many millions and billions of planets, far, far beyond the scientist's calculation. But these are only the manifestations of the Lord's material energy. What can the scientists hope to know of the spiritual potency of the Lord by such material efforts? Mental speculations by adding some dozens of ifs and maybes cannot aid the advancement of knowledge. On the contrary, such mental speculation will only end in despair by dismissing the case abruptly and declaring the non-existence of God. The sane person therefore ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of his tiny brain. And as a matter of fact, and as a matter of course, he tries to learn to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who alone can lead one to the platform of real knowledge. In the Upanishads, it's clearly said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be known simply by working very hard and taxing the good brain, nor can He be known simply by mental speculation and jugglery of words. The Lord is knowable only by one who is a surrendered soul. Here in Brahmaji, the greatest of all material living beings acknowledge this truth. Therefore, the fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing the path of experimental knowledge must be given up. One should gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of the Yogamaya helps the surrendered soul to know Him proportionately with the advance of one's surrender. Om Abhyanati Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manushishtam Sthapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaikam Dadati Swahadantikam
Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahrajatam Sahajanam Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhascha Kripa Sanjivaiva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Hare Krishna O Narada, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know Him. We know how He acts through Yogamaya potencies. And similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to the all-powerful Shiva, the great king of the atheist family, namely Prahlad Maharaj. Sayambhava Manu, his wife Saturupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavrata, Uttanapad, Akuti, Devahuti and Prashuti, Prachinabharahi, Ribhu, Anga, the father of Vena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikshaku, Oila, Mujukanda, Maharaj Janak, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Shagar, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandhata, Alarka, Shatadhanne, Anu, Rantidev, Bhishma, Bali, Amartaraya, Dilip, Shauhari, Utanka, Shibi, Devala, Pippalada, Sarasvata, Uddhava, Parashar, Bhurishena, Vibhishan, Hanuman, Shukdev Goswami, Arjun, Arishtasena, Bidura, Shutadev, etc. So, Brahma described about the scheduled incarnations, different incarnations of the Lord to Narad Muni, in order to establish the supreme position of that supreme personality. And after describing that, here he is actually pointing out. First, he pointed out that we know him. You and I know him, although he is unknowable and immeasurable, because we are surrendered souls. Those who are surrendered to the Lord, only they can understand Him. Otherwise, He is inconceivable. He is beyond our mental speculation. He is beyond our sense perception. He is beyond our intellectual grasp. This point has been established time and time again in the Vedic scriptures. He has been described as adhokshaja, beyond our sense perception. Adhokshaja is beyond our sense perception. So if he is beyond our sense perception, it's impossible for us to know him, grasp him, see him, or conceive of him, perceive him. It's impossible. is pointing out, he has been pointed out, he is Adhokshaja. It has been pointed out that he is beyond our not only sense perception, he is beyond our mental speculation. He is beyond our intellectual perception. So we are limited as living entities. Our knowledge is only to the extent of our sense perception. Things that we can see, we know. Things that we do not see, we cannot see, we cannot possibly know about it. Things that we can touch, we can know. Somebody may be blind, but if he, by touch, he can know. By smell, we can know something. By taste, we can know something. By hearing, we can know something. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond that. It's beyond that. So what is the... How can then we know Him? And Brahmaji is revealing that secret to Narada. How can we know Him? We can know Him only through our surrender. Surrender. Pranipatena. We can, when we surrender unto Him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, sarango saranagati hoibe jaha. When one becomes surrendered through the sixfold aspects of surrender, then he can know Him. Not by any other means. And how is it possible to know Him through our surrender? Because when we surrender, then He reveals Himself to us. In this respect, Prabhupada gives a very wonderful example that in the middle of the night, no matter how much we try, we can use all the facilities of this world, we can try to expand our sense perceptions to any extent, we will not be able to see the sun. It's not possible to see the sun. But when the sun comes up, and if our eyes are open, yes, we see the sun. Similarly, Krishna, when He appears, then only we can perceive Him, not otherwise. And in order to confirm that point, Brahma is saying that there are so many people who have seen Him, who have understood Him, who have known Him, although He is inconceivable and immeasurable. Although He is unknowable, one can know Him. Although He is inconceivable, He can be conceived. And although He is immeasurable, still we can perceive Him with our limited perceptions. How? When He Himself manifests Himself. And it's not just some sort of speculation or imaginary concept. Pointed out that it is others knew. They accepted, and they are not fools. He is giving a list of people, great kings, great sages, exalted demigods, like Lord Shiva. He is not only a deva, but he is the Mahadeva. The greatest of all the devas, Mahadeva. He starts off with Mahadeva. Brahma is telling that Lord Shiva knows. I know. Brahma is another greatest of all the demigods. Of course, his position is below Lord Shiva. Brahma is narrating himself. And like, who are these personalities? Prahlad Maharaj, a demon, born in a demoniac family. But he knew the Lord. And he is mentioning other personalities, like Swayambhuva Manu, his wife Satarupa, his sons and daughters, like Priyavrata, Uttanapad, Akuti, Prashuti, and Devahuti, these three daughters. Then Prachinavarhi, the father of the Prachetas, Ribhu, then Anga, the father of Dvena, and Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ikshaku, Aila, Muchukanda, Janak, Maharaj Janak, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Shagar, Gaya, Nahush, Mandhata, Alarka, Shatathanna, Anu, Rantidev. These are all great kings, powerful kings who ruled over the entire planet. Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, another personality, was born in the Devaniya family, in the Daitya family. Then Amurta Rai, Dilip, Shaubhari, and another great sage. Then Utanka, Shibi, another very, very great personality, well known for his charitable nature. Then Devala, Pippalada, Saraswata, very exalted sages, Uddhav, Parashar Muni, and the father of Vasudev, Bhurishena, Vibhishan, Ravan's younger brother, Hanuman, Sukadev Goswami, Arjun, Arishtasena, Ashtisena, not Arishtasena, Ashtisena, then Bidur, Shutadev, etc. So, when we see that all these great personalities have accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing Him factually, then what is the problem with us? That should be our consideration. General tendency of living entities is Mahajana, whatever the great personalities do, common people must follow. So these are the great personalities and we must follow them. Doesn't matter, in today's world there are very few great personalities. But still in today's world also we see the great personalities. There have been great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, another line of personalities who are extremely exalted personalities. They have accepted. Now the question is, should we follow these great personalities or should we just follow some riffraffs? In today's world, people are actually following the riffraffs. People are recognized for their greatness. Why? Because they are big movie stars. Or because they are celebrated beauties. Or because they are powerful politicians. That is the unfortunate state of affairs in this age of Kali. These are not great people. These are just riffraffs. Somehow they have got some recognition. They may be good people. Not that they are all bad people. But they are not the great exalted personalities like these Mahajans. They are not Mahajans, they are not Mahatmas. We know some people, they're very nice. Like, we know Amitabh Bachchan. He's a good person, very nice person, basically. His wife, Jaya, is a very, very pious lady. Very nice. These are nice people, but they do not know Krishna. They can't show us the way to the spiritual life. They can't lead us beyond this material nature. Or Bill Gates, another nice and generous person, charitable person. But unfortunately, today those who are recognized as being great, they are not spiritually enlightened personalities. Even in the spiritual field, those who are recognized as great personalities, we see that most of them are in ignorance. They're impersonalists. They themselves are bewildered. Most of them don't accept that God is a person. They think that ultimately it is Brahman and all the forms are just some imaginary concepts. Or at the most, they think that when Brahman is influenced by the mood of goodness, he is God. So there is such a confusion. But what should we do? What should those who are serious about their lives should do? For us, we must recognize that we have been very, very fortunate. We came across Srila Prabhupada's teachings and we have accepted Srila Prabhupada's teachings. That's a good fortune. We accepted Srila Prabhupada's teachings and as a result of that, we became exposed to the spiritual wisdom. That is our good fortune, and we have accepted it. Not only have we been exposed, but we have accepted it. That's why we are here. We have accepted Srila Prabhupada's teaching. We recognize that, yes, this is the real sensible thing. And this is the path we must follow. And as a result of that, what happened? We have given up everything, and we have come to ISKCON. We have committed ourselves to this movement. We are trying to mold our lives according to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. That's a good fortune. And one thing, as we are becoming more and more acquainted with the teachings, we are becoming more and more convinced. Yes, this makes sense. Why should we, like we read verses like this and naturally we question, now why shouldn't we accept what all these great personalities have accepted? Why shouldn't we? Like, who can be greater than Lord Shiva? Who can be greater than Lord Brahma? Among us, who is greater than Narada Muni? So these are all the great personalities. All these great personalities. And then there is a series of kings. They're not ordinary kings. Ikshaku, Raghu, then great sages like Ashit Devala, Uddanka, Shibi, king like Shibi, personalities like Arjun, personalities like Bibhishan. They're coming from all different backgrounds. Not that they're all the sages who are accepting Krishna as the supreme. There is a multifarious background. And there are personalities who are coming from the demoniac family. Like Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Bibhishan. They are generally by nature they are atheistic. But they're coming, although they appear in the atheistic family, they have accepted Krishna. They are great kings, they are galores of kings. And then Manu, the forefathers of mankind, Manu, Shatayupa, his sons, Priyabrata, Uttanapad, his daughters, Akuti, Devahuti and Prashuti. Then kings like Prachina Barhi, who was involved in Karmakanda before. But by coming in contact with Narad Muni, he became a great devotee of the Lord. Then Ribhu, Anga, the father of Bena. Bena was a tyrant. So much so that the sages have cursed him to death. But his father, Anga, was a great personality. And then Bena's son, Prithu, was another great personality in the incarnation of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj, Ikshaku, from whom Lord Ramchandra's dynasty, the Raghu Vamsa, had come. Ikshaku's descendant was Raghu. Oila, Muchukanda, Maharajanak, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Sagar, Gaya, Nahush, Mandhata, Alarka, Shatadhanna, Anu, Rantidev, Bhishma, Bali, Amurtaraya. So these are all great personalities, great Kshatriya personalities, warriors. They are not so much absorbed in intellectual studies. They are great sages, great warriors. But still they have seen the Lord. And although the Lord is inconceivable, although the Lord is unknowable, although the Lord is immeasurable, but they have known Him. How? Through the simple process of surrender. So, the process is given here. Just surrender. You come across the descriptions in the scriptures, accept those descriptions with faith, and surrender unto Him, and just use your hearing faculty. Shravanam. Just hear. Not mundane discussions, but hear with submission the narrations of the scriptures. Then the rest will happen. Dibhogyan, the transcendental knowledge, will be revealed in the heart, within the heart. Dibhogyan, Hriday, Prakashita. So the process is very, very simple. And it works. Here we are getting the descriptions of so many personalities. There is another instance when it has been described that Jamraj himself is describing that. That we are 12 Mahajans. Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kapila, Kumara, Manu, Pralhada, Janaka, Bhishma, Vaiyashaki, Bali, and Jamraj. So these are the 12 Mahajans. And Mahajana Jana Gatasya Pantha. The path is to follow the footsteps of the Mahajans. So if we follow the footsteps of the Mahajans, we will also derive the same benefit. It's not that only these 12 are these Mahajans. Whoever follows their path also becomes a Mahajan. Who is a Mahajan? Who is a Mahatma? The description of Mahatma has been given by Krishna himself. Mahatmanas tu man partha daivim prakritim ashrita. Mahatma is he who has daivim prakritim ashrita. Maam daivim prakritim ashrita. My daivi prakriti, divine nature. That means who has accepted my divine spiritual nature, yogamaya. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Para prakriti. Accepting of para-prakriti means, daivi-prakriti, means one who has accepted the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His inconceivable potency and ability. Our para-prakriti, the inferior nature, the characteristic of the inferior nature is that we accept everything on the basis of a false ego. If I can't understand, if I can't see, I don't accept it. I am the center. If I don't hear, if I don't see, I don't believe. If I can't accept it, if we can't analyze it with my intellect, I don't accept it. How can it be? How can it be? That is our
way of looking at it. How can a boy, 7-year-old boy, lift a mountain with his left hand and kept it holding on his little finger for 7 days? How can it be? That is the Jada Prakriti Mashrita or Para Prakriti Mashrita. The accepting, functioning on the basis of the inferior nature. How can it be? But the Pardaivi Prakriti, the person who has placed himself under Krishna's Daivi Prakriti, Ashrita, his approach will be, or his way of thinking will be, what's the difficulty? What's the difficulty? Krishna can make innumerable planets, innumerable universes float in the space. The person can float innumerable universes in the space. What's the big deal for him to lift a little thing, a mountain, on his left hand, in a little finger, and kept it hanging for 7 days? What's the big deal for him? That is the meaning of Daivi Prakriti Mashrita. Accepting every single word of the scripture as the truth and nothing but the truth. That is Daivi Prakriti Mashrita. And one who does that, he is Mahatma. But those who don't do that, they are Duratmas. There are two types of individuals, Mahatmas and Duratmas. Now the question is, whether we'll become a Duratma or whether we'll become a Mahatma. In ISKCON we have come to become Mahatmas. Therefore our business is to accept everything that has been presented in the scripture as the truth and nothing but the truth. And there will be tests of our faith. There will be tests of our faith. Let's see how much is your belief, how much is your faith, how convinced you are about this. Time and time again there will be questions. Time and time again will be subjected to this kind of tests. Like the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful example of that. Try to analyze this fifth canto, the description of the universe, it blows your mind. And the atheistic person will think that, how is it possible? It's just some incoherent blabbering. That's how they will take it. Incoherent, unfounded descriptions. It doesn't tally. At one place they are saying this and the other place they are saying this. Bhagavatam will put us through different tests like that. And that will be the test of our faith. Do you believe? And what should be our approach? Yes, I do. I may not be able to understand it, but I believe. Since it has been presented in the scriptures, I believe. I don't have any question. I don't have any. And here also the same question comes. Brahma is just telling Narad Muni, when? At the beginning of creation. Practically at the beginning of creation. Narad Muni is asking his father, please tell me. Brahma, Narad Muni is one of the first offsprings of Brahma. The first being, first created being, Brahma's first four children are the four Kumars, and then the next are these 10 sons. 9 Prajapatis and the youngest one, Narada. And Narada didn't know. So he's asking his father, Father, please tell me. I was thinking that you are the greatest. But please tell me who is the greatest. And Brahma is describing. But then, at this point, we are seeing Brahma is naming all these kings who are actually quite recent. Many of them are quite recent. Arjuna is only 5,000 years ago. Bhishma Devi is similar. So about 5,000 years ago. And at the beginning of creation, Brahma is telling, okay, these are the people those who accept. Bewildering. And what should be our question? Well, that is the problem with the academics. They read to find faults. The other day I came across a book in a bookstore called The Basis of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the ingredients for Chaitanya Charitamrita, on which Chaitanya Charitamrita was written. I thought it would be nice to find out. But that book was such a garbage. Just after reading a few pages, I decided that I'm going to throw it in Ganges. Originally I was thinking that I'll throw it in the Ganges because it says Chaitanya Charitamrita and many relevant topics of Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioned. But now I think, it occurred to me, why am I waiting to throw it in Ganges? Shipra is good enough. Just throw it in Shipra. Now, they read to find faults. That book was like that. Oh, this is not right, that's not right, that's not right. Like an ordinary person will think, what's this? Isn't it incoherent? In one hand, we have Narad Muni is just getting acquainted with the knowledge. But here are personalities who actually became enlightened by coming in contact with Narad Muni. So Narad Muni didn't receive the knowledge and Brahma is telling that these are the personalities who have accepted it. How do we adjust it? How do we reconcile it? We can't. Therefore, our attitude is, I don't understand. But because it's coming from Brahma, I accept it. But there are ways of looking at it also. I mean, if we want to justify our intellect, or intellectually justify it, we can do that. Because Brahma's life, things happen. Every day, things are happening. Every day, things are happening in Brahma's life in a similar way. Yes, in four yugas, there are one, not only every day, in four yugas of things are happening. Dasharatha is appearing, Ramchandra is appearing, Raghu is appearing, in every chatur-yuga. So what's the difficulty for Brahma to point out to Narada? Yes, these are the people who accepted it. The point is, the material perception is like this. We see things in a converged way. Our conception actually converges into the point. But the spiritual perception is diverging, becoming broader and broader. We don't try to see things with our own limited intellectual ability. But we try to see things in a broader perspective. But whatever comes, whatever has been spoken by the sages, we accept it. We are finding it. Some devotees even are finding faults in Prabhupada's writings. Again, your unfortunate soul, become aware that it's a test of Maya. Finding faults with Prabhupada, okay, find faults. But what will be the benefit? You'll lose your spiritual life. You'll sink in the depth of Maya. Sink in the depth of ocean of material nature. But if we have faith, we'll sail through this ocean of material nature without any difficulty. And we're seeing that. Those who are questioning Srila Prabhupada's authority, they are falling down. Those who are accepting Srila Prabhupada's authority with full faith, they're sailing across. They're advancing in their spiritual life without any hindrance. So this is the process. Just surrender. Have faith in your authority. Have faith in the previous acharyas. Have faith in the scriptures. Everything will be alright. And everything will be alright means at the time of death you will receive Krishna's mercy. Now the question may arise, only at the time of death? No, even when you are alive, don't you realize how you are receiving Krishna's mercy? At every step we can perceive it, we can feel it, we can experience it. And how we are receiving Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy, and the mercy of all the great devotees. This is the reality. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Chandrasekhar.
Some individuals have great faith in what they call common sense. They could even quote our own acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, should man from common sense depart. So what do we tell them when they...
Okay, the common sense. So the question is whether the common sense is materially motivated or spiritually motivated.
Common sense
can be two types. Common sense is, I am seeing that this is a glass and the glass is inert. The glass cannot move, right, by itself. That's common sense, right? But another common sense is, in the spiritual sky, the glass was thinking, why I have to wait for Krishna to pick me up? So he just flies up to Krishna's mouth and pours nectar into Krishna's mouth. So the point is that we can accept another common sense is, Krishna is the supreme independent personality and his reality is spiritual, and there that spiritual reality does not abide by the law of material nature. There it functions in its spiritual perspective. Another common sense is, I'll give you another common sense. Did anybody make your watch? The watch that you're wearing, did somebody make it? The shirt that you're wearing, did somebody make it? This room, did somebody make it? This building, did somebody make it? This universe, somebody made it? Who is he? Although I cannot see him, he is there. That's common sense. So that is the real common sense. That there is a somebody who is controlling everything. Without proper control, does things happen by itself? Does anything work in a systematic and rational way without somebody's control? No. This material nature we see, everything is happening in such a wonderful order. Is somebody controlling it? Who is that somebody? If he is controlling the entire material nature, he is controlling me also. So let me surrender to him. That's common sense. Okay, what's your common sense?
Specifically thinking of things such as dates that are mentioned in our scriptures and measurements. These things, so-called, depart from common sense of modern scientific observations.
That's what I'm saying. That's material common sense. But there is a spiritual common sense. There is a way to look at it. Like if some ant comes and tells some ants, there is a mountain called Mount Everest. But the other day you're giving the example of Mr. Frog. Right. Hearing in the ocean, the frog is there. Anyway, to go back to that ant. Now, if you tell the ant that the height of Mount Everest is 29,000 feet, the ant, who knows that the biggest mountain is this ant hill, the height of about 2 feet, and when you tell him 29,000 feet, ant will say, come on, give me a break. Right? So let's recognize that we are nothing but like a bunch of ants. There are far greater individuals with far greater perceptions. And there are reality that is far greater than this one, that the ant hill that we are living in. Then what happens? We naturally accept. But yes, it's possible. And common sense is, why these great personalities lie? In the script, why should Vedavyasa lie? Why should he give us some wrong information? Why? That's common sense. Alright? So, the man from his common sense depart. No. Yeah, he should depart from his mundane common sense. That doesn't make any sense to begin with. And accept the common sense of absolute reality.
Yes. Maharaj, when Krishna discusses with Sri Uddhava, he quotes the conversation between the Avadhuta Brahmana and King Yadu, and so many of those elements mentioned there are spiritual common sense, like Pingala, who realizes this is ridiculous, this is a ridiculous life I'm living. Let me just give it up and surrender to the Lord and look at the results she obtains.
Yes,
and using her common sense.
Yeah, very good point.
Yeah. So when one comes to his senses, that is common sense.
Yes. Yeah, Navadri.
Apart from the Mahajans and the Mahatmas, and in our times that we are living, where with our sense perception and our senses, we are in a material world and material bodies. A personality like Srila Prabhupada and his disciples like you, when they say something, why can't we believe? Why, even if we believe the scriptures and have this thing, but we have something which is right in front of our eyes and we are able to hear and see and do it. That's the greatest, proof.
It's not that we are not believe. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, finish.
That's the greatest proof and the greatest evidence that we have in front of us of Srila Prabhupada, of yourself, of other devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness. That's the greatest evidence that we have of the existence of God.
I was thinking of another example. Like yourself. Left your business, left everything, just moved into Ujjain with your family. Why did you do that?
Just realized that I should serve the Lord, and that's the greatest thing. That's
so you're also another Mahatma.
Daivam Prakriti Ashrita. That's the definition of a Mahatma. Actually, all of you are Mahatmas. You have accepted Krishna consciousness, therefore you are Mahatmas. You have accepted Krishna's divine nature.
Guru Maharaj, in order to establish the point that Krishna cannot be perceived through our senses, there are two different types of explanations given. One is that Krishna is abhokshaya, as you often say. And the other is that, our senses are defective. We have these four defects that I explained, and, therefore, even there are so many radiations that we cannot see and like that. So are these two different explanations are, somehow, my question is is it that both are equally strong, or is it that one are even superior to the other?
You see, it's a matter of, making the other person understand. In whichever way you can make the other person understand, that is what really matters. Right? Like, these are just some examples that, our perceptions are so limited. Like Prabhupada used to give, I actually heard this example once. One little girl was telling somebody, that somebody was telling, he was denying the existence of God because we cannot see Him. And this girl was saying, can you see what is beyond this room? What is beyond this wall in the other room? The guy was stunned. No, I can't. Do you believe that something is happening there? And I remind you, this girl is only about 7 or 8 years old. Little girl, and giving that argument, Like you say that you don't believe unless you see it. But you can't even see beyond this wall. You don't know what's happening there. So how can you be so convinced about your sense perceptions? And Prabhupada gave another example that the things that are closest to our eyes, we cannot see it. So how can you trust your eyes? The closest is to your eyelids. What is closest to your eyes? Your eyelids. Can you see your eyelids? Can you see your eyelashes? So this is your ability of your perception. Not to speak of the farthest things that are beyond our limitations of our perception. But things are so close to our eyes we can't even see that. And you say, I don't believe unless I see.
I just wanted to ask about some of the names that are mentioned in these three verses, which are not so familiar. If we could, sometime we will discuss about them.
Good point, actually. I myself was thinking that. Okay, maybe tomorrow I can do that. Tomorrow I'll try to find about them. We'll discuss about this personality. Yes, you can.
At the end of the purport, stated that the Lord assisted devotees through Yoga Maya to understand it. Now, we are under Mahamaya, but we have in this Mahamaya transcended or come to Krishna consciousness. So how was Yoga Maya active? Does she usurp Mahamaya? Is Maya Maya her expansion?
Is it the distance between Yoga Maya, the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, or Mahamaya and Yoga Maya is a matter of being defiant and submissive. When you are defiant to Krishna, she is Mahamaya. When you are submissive to Krishna, she is Yoga Maya. The same Maya of Krishna. Mama Maya, the word. Maya. Right? So Mahamaya is not separate from Krishna. Its operation is separate from Krishna because here she is giving punishment. And in this respect, Prabhupada gives the example of a policeman. He's the same policeman. To a criminal, he is an object of fear. But to a law-abiding person, he is an object of assurance and security.
Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to... Do you have a question?
Yes. Does it happen that we believe in what is written in a religious book when we are in Sattva-guna and a little well when we are in Tamo-guna and not in a Rajo-guna?
Not really, no. Like, you see, the kings, great kings of India in the past, they have been in more of passion. Right? The kings, Kshatriyas, are in a more of passion. But they accepted. Right? It is not that those who are in more passion they do. But those who are in ignorance they cannot, because they are in ignorance they cannot.
But those who are in the mode of passion, if they are directed properly, like a king, the king had a guru, right? King had his ministers, they are brahmanas. The king basically accepted that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They accepted that. They may not be spending their time in discussing about the scriptures, but that basic acceptance was there in the heart. And they knew that the Brahmanas, they are the exponents about the knowledge of the spiritual reality. And they accepted their guidance. Oh, the Brahmanas said that I should act like this? I should act like this. So that is the difference between a real Kshatriya king and a demoniac Kshatriya king. The demoniac Kshatriya king did not accept the teachings of the Brahmanas. But in the Vedic time we see that even the demoniac Kshatriyas accepted the Brahmanical order. Like, for example, the demoniac people had their guru, who is a brahmana, Shukracharya. But what Shukracharya was teaching them? How to enjoy the material nature. But for the devotee kings,
The gurus were like Vasishtha and Garga Muni and such personalities. And they always taught them to surrender to Krishna and act as a representative. As a king, they were simply the representatives of the Supreme Personality of God. They didn't think that my kingdom belongs to me. They knew that this kingdom belongs to the Lord. And I am simply his caretaker. On his behalf, I am maintaining the dharma in this piece of land. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. What do you do? What's your...
I'm working and studying.
Okay, yeah, right, very good. Do you find these classes are beneficial? Yeah, I can see that you're coming every day. Thank you very much. And if you have any question, please feel free to ask. Hare Krishna. Help me get some prasad when it comes.